أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم أنفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Today we will cover the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ayah 1 and 2, inshallah. Al-Fatiha means the opening, from the root of Fataha, which means to open. This surah is from the short surahs of the Quran, but one of the greatest surahs of the Quran. It is called Ummul Quran. Why? In Arabic, means mother. So in reference to this surah called of Quran means it contains the foundation or the core of the Quran. Its most recognized name is Al-Fatiha. Quran begins with this surah. As our learning today begins with it, and with dua we begin, O Allah, make this surah a beginning and opening of a new life for us. Make this a door for us which opens to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path that leads to Jannah. Ameen. This surah has many names. In Arabs, it was a tradition when they loved something, would give them many names. Other names of this surah are Ummul Kitab, Saba Mathani. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Alhamdulillah is Ummul Quran and Ummul Kitab and Saba Mathani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Hijr, Ayah 87, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ, meaning that we certainly gave you 7 constantly recited ayat. Which are these 7 ayat? They refer to Surah Al-Fatiha. Hence, Saba means 7, Mathani, one's most recited. Another name for this surah is Surah Hamd. Hamd meaning praise. Because this surah praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Al-Wafiyah, from Waw Alif Fa Ya Ha. Because this is a surah that cannot be recited in portion and has to be recited in its entirety. Another name is Kafiyah, meaning the sufficient one, the sufficient, as cannot recite another surah in place of it in its salah. It is also called Al-Shafiyah because it cures bodily illnesses and diseases of the heart. Two other names are As-Salat and Ad-Dua, because it is recited in Salah, and Ad-Dua because after reciting the praises of Allah in the beginning ayahs, Dua is made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will go into the virtues and benefits of this surah. In a hadith mentioned in Muslim, once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Jibreel alayhi salam. Suddenly he heard a loud sound from the sky. Jibreel alayhi salam looked up and said, "Today a door of heaven was opened that was never opened before." An angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Rejoice, you have been given 2 radiant lights that were not given to any prophet before you. These 2 lights were Surah Al-Fatiha and the last 2 ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, which we will learn about it later, inshallah. Every letter of the surah is considered a nur, or a radiant light, and given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specially. In another hadith in Tirmidhi, narrated from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he stated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his sahaba, Ubay bin Ka'b, who was a qari of Quran, "Shall I teach you a surah which is unlike any surah or chapter in Torah, Injil, Zabur, and even Quran?" Ubay said, "Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please tell me what the surah is." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, "Which surah do you recite in your salahs?" So he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, there is no surah like it in Taurat, nor Injil, nor Zabur. This is Saba Mathani, and this is Quran Al-Azim, which I have been granted. Without this surah, there is no salah." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "There is no salah for one who doesn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha." Even when we follow the Imam in Jama'ah, We must recite Surah Al-Fatiha quietly. The Imam should give enough time for the people praying out behind him so they can recite the Surah Fatiha. As when you go to Masjid al-Nabawi, you can notice how in Salah, after the Imam recites Surah Al-Fatiha, there is a pause. This is for the followers to finish their Al-Fatiha. So without it, there is no Salah. This is the only surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds after each ayah is recited. Condition is, of course, that it's recited with focus. As if anyone makes dua without focus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not respond. Since this surah is also a dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to every ayah one recites. We learn from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that I have divided the prayer between me and my servant in two halves. I give my servant whatever he asks for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamadani Abadi, which means my servant has praised me. Then the person says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Athani Alayya Abadi, which means my servant has exalted me. And when he says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majadani Abadi, which means my servant has glorified me and submitted to me. Whenever he says, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is between me and my servant, and my servant will have what he asks for. When he says, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, which means guide us to the straight path, till the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for my servant, and my servant will have what he has asked for. If we recite this surah with attentiveness and focus, our dua will be accepted. So we must recite this surah from depths of our heart. Another virtue to note is, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you lay down on your bed, if you recite Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Ikhlas, aside from death, you will be in security from other harms. There are many virtues of the surah. We will begin the surah with words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 98, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, which means, whenever you recited the Quran, seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan, the outcast. First of all, why do we say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem when you begin reciting or reading the Quran? Why is it important to seek refuge with Allah from Shaitan, the rejected? This is because Shaitan attacks someone the most when they come to the Quran. He uses his waswasas, which are his whispers, to take the person away from it. He doesn't openly say don't do it, but turns people away by whispering. He whispers saying, you can do all these other good things instead of Quran, or you have so much life left, you are young, you can come to it later in your life. Or when you are about to open the Quran, makes you feel tired or bored, so we put it off for later. So the time never comes and keeps giving us reasons to be preoccupied with other things in life. So to save yourself from this waswasas and trap, the only way is to seek refuge with Allah. We must ask Allah for protection from his traps. He tries to turn us away because he knows if one comes to Quran, the person's life will change. The path to Jannah will become easy. So he doesn't tolerate anyone coming this way. And he doesn't want anyone to even open the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the time when Shaitan was thrown out of paradise. He at that time swore that he will call onto and take mankind to hell. He said, I will surely and definitely mislead them all, except a few who are sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of his traps and deception, and tells us about the shaitan. He said, he should not deceive you as he has deceived your parents, and have them expelled from Jannah. He is your enemy, so consider him your enemy. He calls onto his group to deceive mankind, so they are taken to hell with them. Shaitan deceived our parents Adam and Hawa, as mentioned in the Quran. He said to them, swearing, I am your sincere advisor, so go ahead and eat from the tree. So they fell into his trap and ate from it. It is important to note that there is no other action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exhorts in doing and emphasizes to begin it with seeking refuge in shaitan, other than beginning to recite Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory. Even in Surah An-Nas, we seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. We learn that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prayed at night, would begin his salah with Allahu Akbar, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka, la ilaha ghayruk. Then we recite la ilaha illallah 3 times. Then we recite A'udhu billahi samiyul alim min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamadihi wa nafakhihi wa nafasihi before beginning Surah Al-Fatiha. Although we can recite A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim alone, but Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite as A'udhu billahi samiyul alim min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamadihi wa nafakhihi wa nafasihi, meaning I seek refuge with Allah, the all-hearing, the all-knowing, from the cursed shaitan, from his whisperings, his evil suggestions and insinuations. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to recite this even when we get angry, because when a person is angry, shaitan takes over the person and uses it in a way the person doesn't even realize. We should also say it when we are about to do anything good. Many times when we are about to do something good, the shaitan whispers in our hearts and tells us not to do the good deed. So we should seek refuge in Allah whenever we get these whisperings. Next, we learn about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is an ayah of the Quran placed in beginning of each surah. Some say this is part of the Quran and some say it's not, and is placed to separate the surahs. It is very important to begin any task with Bismillah, because without it, the task that is done is not fruitful. Hence, it's very important to recite. Jabir radiallahu anhu stated, when this ayah was revealed, the clouds dispersed, the air became still, and the seas became calm. Shaitan were shot down with flames of fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, that whatever is done with his name will have barakah or blessings in it. It means with the name of Allah. It's understood that begins with the reciter saying, I seek refuge in Allah, and not mentioned separately or specifically with the use of the word I. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon a camel and a sahaba was sitting behind him. Suddenly, the camel slipped, so the Sahaba cursed the shaitan. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, don't say this, because shaitan becomes proud, thinking the camel slipped because of his power. Rather say Bismillah. Because of this, he becomes humiliated and belittled as a tiny fly. When we say Bismillah, it humiliates the shaitan. So we should say Bismillah before beginning any task, before khutbah, before reciting the Quran, and even before making wudu, we should recite Bismillah. Otherwise, it will not be a proper wudu. Before we eat, we should say Bismillah. Also, when we cover our utensils at night, we should say Bismillah before covering. At time of the closing the water bottle, as at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to have water bags. So whenever he closed the mouth of the water bag, he would say Bismillah. In another narration, we learn that saying Bismillah when we close our doors or lock our doors for the night or turning off the light. We also learn that Nuh alayhi salam said Bismillah majriha wa mursaha when he boarded his ark. Bismillah is a very beautiful kalima, but why don't we find its barakahs? Perhaps it's because we don't say it from the depth of our heart or lack the spirit, and we don't know what we're saying most of the time. Now we will look at the name of Allah. There are two opinions. One opinion, the people who have knowledge of grammar, say the word Allah is a combination of two words combined together. The first is Al, and the second, Ilah, to make Allah. The second opinion is that the name was not derived and does not contain any attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it's his personal or specific name. Some say the word Allah is derived from ilah. They say it means being awed. He is one that anyone who contemplates on his greatness and power and might becomes awed. Others say laha means something high and hidden, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most high and hidden. Others say walaha yalihu, which means one most deserving of love. Love of Allah supersedes love of anyone or anything else. And this is how it should be. This is the demand of Tawheed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, and those who believe are those who are intense in love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another explanation is from Allaha Yalihu. In Arabic, it said for when a child becomes fearful and runs to his mother. As a baby camel that is tied and when it's let loose runs to his mother, is used for jumping or running towards. So whoever is in doubt, worry, grief, or any kind of distress, anyone from his entire creation turns to Allah. They run to Allah as a child runs to his mother at the time of need. He is the one who is called at time of need and distress. With his remembrance, we find peace and tranquility. So the name Allah is his personal, literal name, not associated with any specific attribute as other names we know about. For example, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Halim. This can be better understood when we see the difference between literal name as Aisha, and if one calls her Sabira, meaning one patient, or Sauma, one who fasts a lot. Alhamd can be explained by two words. First part, madaha, which means praising, plus shukr, which is gratitude. Shukr is recognizing favors of someone. Alhamdulillah is a word, one that has a lot of weight on scales of deeds, and fills the spaces between heavens and the earth. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if one is bestowed with whatever is in this world, every blessing, then you compare it to the one who has the ability or tawfiq to say Alhamdulillah. This ability is far superior than the entire world and its blessings. In one narration, if one has ability or tawfiq to say Alhamdulillah from heart, this is better than all the blessings that one can have in this dunya. Alhamd is praise of Allah. This praise testifies he is free from any flaw or shortcoming, and he is free from any defect. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you say Alhamdulillah, you are being grateful to Allah, and he will give you more. And Allah is pleased if a person eats and praises Allah, and if he drinks, praises Allah. And when a person says Alhamdulillah for any blessing, he will bestow them blessings better and superior than the blessing they have. Hasan Basri stated that saying Alhamdulillah for each blessing is better and superior. Why? Because every blessing of this world will perish and come to an end. But the reward of Alhamdulillah will never end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed so many blessings upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah An-Nahl, Ayah 18, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that if you counted the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to enumerate it. Then how do we give gratitude for these blessings, as we are not even able to count them? Also, how can we be grateful if we don't know how to thank Him, or even have the tawfiq or ability to thank Allah? So if we are grateful to Allah, then this ability to give thanks is bestowed by Him also. We must ask Allah for those tawfiq and ability to give thanks. And when we say Alhamdulillah in gratitude, be grateful for this blessing too. As Dawud alayhi salam said, O Allah, I cannot properly thank you for even one blessing from all the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. Even the ability to be grateful, Allah is your blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Dawud, you have now recognized that you cannot give proper thanks to me. This is shukr or gratitude. The one who eats should say Alhamdulillah. If one gets a good dream, should say Alhamdulillah. If you sneeze, say Alhamdulillah. If you wake up after sleeping, say Alhamdulillah. And recite dua of gratitude. So Alhamdulillah means all praise and all thanks is for Allah. So how is Alhamdulillah different from praising someone or thanking someone? For example, when you comment on something nice, such as nice clothes, you say, what a beautiful dress, or nice house, or beautiful jewelry. But you don't say, thank you dress, thank you house, or thank you jewelry. It's not necessary that when you commend something or praise something, that you give thanks for it. Vice versa, if you give thanks to someone, doesn't mean you are commending or praising it. As when Fir'aun reminded Musa alayhi salam of his favors upon him, he gave him thanks, but did not praise him. So we can have shukr without praise and praise without shukr. But when we say Alhamdulillah, it is such a heavy kalima that this is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it contains both gratitude and praise. On a different note, if someone complains and says, why did Allah let this happen? Why did someone get killed? Why did Allah do this? Why so much poverty? And why so many people dying? These are all objections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not appropriate for a believer to object or question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what happens in the world. Believers should say Alhamdulillah and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how bad something seems or whatever bad happens, we should not complain. And why is that? Should we still praise even if we see so much suffering? Yes, because we have to realize we don't know and can never understand the wisdom behind decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A good example is when a child has to undergo a necessary but painful procedure, and the child cries and screams from pain. The person who is intelligent will understand that the procedure is necessary and will be beneficial for the child. We only see what is the apparent, but not the wisdom and planning, and what good comes out of it. In every matter, all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what negative thoughts come in our mind, or no matter how sad an event we come across, we can feel sad, but we must have yakin and firm belief that every decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on His wisdom. His every decree is correct. Imam Razi writes about a pious man who was passing by banks of Dajla. Ahead of him, he saw a scorpion walking. He thought to himself that Allah created each and everything, even a speck, with a purpose. So he decided to follow it to see where it goes. The scorpion kept going and stopped at the bank, waiting. A little while later, saw a small turtle swimming towards the bank near the scorpion. The scorpion got upon the turtle, and the turtle started swimming again. The pious man thought that Allah had sent a ride for the scorpion so he could cross the sea. So he started following the turtle on a boat, until the turtle reached another bank. The scorpion jumped off, and the pious man got off and started following the scorpion. The scorpion kept walking until it reached a place where a man was sleeping. So the pious man thought, okay, so he came to bite this man. Suddenly, he saw a snake with its head raised and reaching to bite the sleeping man. While he slept unaware, it was very near that this snake would bite him. But the scorpion jumped on the snake and attacked it. The snake died, and the scorpion jumped off the snake and started walking away. Until the sleeping man woke up and saw the scorpion. He thought he would attack him, so he grabbed a rock and was about to hit him, that the pious man grabbed his hand and stopped him. He told him how far the scorpion had come and saved him from being stung by the snake. The pious man said, "By coming here, I learned that everything happens by the plan of Allah, and He is worthy of all praise. Nothing happens except with the hikmah, whether we understand it or not. Even the pains we feel, there is hikmah behind it. And if we find delay in matters, there is hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Sometimes events in our life make us restless, but there is a hikmah behind everything that happens." As we learn about Khidr alayhi salam in Surah Al-Kahf, everything he does apparently looks bad. He's breaking the planks on the boat, he's building the wall, and killing the boy. But the one power who maintains the universe knows what is good behind the thing that appears to be bad. We cannot use our limited intellect in trying to make sense of it. Now we come to Ayah 2 of Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah means all praise and gratitude for all qualities of Allah. Rabb means Rabbul Alameen. The simple meaning of Rabb means master. But there are five qualities or attributes in that word Rabb. Owner, caretaker, in charge, one bestower of blessings, sustainer and maintainer. Who is a master? We can get a better understanding of the word master when we look at the relationship of a slave and a master. Our position as humans is of a slave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our master. This is the first dars of Quran. If we know what this means, we will understand all matters of the Quran. With this word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a big truth. If we look at slavery, is it for a specific time or all the time? Does one become a slave only on Jummah and not on other days? Or becomes a slave only on Ramadan and not on other days? Can someone be slave only for 9 to 5? No. This person is called an employee, while slave is for 24/7. Does slave get any vacation? No. When he sleeps, he's a slave. When he wakes up, he's a slave. When he sits, he's a slave. New Year, he's a slave. End of the year, he's a slave. Time of weddings, he's a slave. When he enters a masjid, he's a slave. And when he goes to the market, he's a slave. At time of Eid, he is a slave of Allah. We are slaves of Allah around the clock 24/7. We cannot say we are slaves of Allah at a certain time. And when a wedding approaches, we are not slaves of Allah. And when times of celebration, do we say, why should I listen to Allah? Does slave have a job description? I pray, give zakat, fast, and go for hajj. But in affairs of dunya, do we question what deen has to do with it? We have to live in dunya. This is what we say. Or do we think we are slaves of Allah when we are only in the masjid? Well, if you look at the slavery in dunya, would the slave say, you only hired me for cleaning the house? You didn't hire me for this job. Nor do they say, doing groceries is not part of my job. Only servants can say that, not slaves. They had no specific job description, rather had to do whatever the master commanded. The slavery of dunya is so disliked, and no one would want to be a slave. Not only that, the slave of the dunya would complain about the master. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such a master that his slaves do not want freedom from him and want to constantly praise and thank him. Also in dunya, no one wants to be a slave, doesn't volunteer for it, but slave of Allah does it voluntarily and wants to be his slave. And whenever we hear term master, what do we think of? Zulm, injustice, torture, oppression, beating. But this master is such that he is the caretaker who gives blessings after blessings. He is such a master that even if people disobey him, he does not take away their blessings. This master is sustainer and maintainer. He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When we are owners in this dunya, we do not even possess anything in totality. Even if we have a house, we cannot build without permits. Well, he is completely in charge. Rabb is one who creates, then takes care and sustains from birth until end of his life. He sustains with love and mercy. And he is master of Al-Alameen, all the worlds and universes. What is in the world, entire creation, whatever is in the heavens and the earth? In the entire creation of Allah is called Alim, or the world. Some say that it only includes the jinn, humankind, and angels. He is the master of all, from every time. If we are his slaves and he is our master, then we cannot have pride over who we are. We can be Arab or non-Arab. We are all slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, only the one with taqwa is higher or noble.